Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to tonight's second hour. We are the Political Cesspool radio program and broadcasting to you live this Saturday evening, March 13th, from the friendly confines of AM 1380 WLRM Studios in Memphis, Tennessee. Going out also to the AM/FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network and online via live internet stream and even the broadcast archives available at both websites, our official internet headquarters, thepoliticalcesspool.org, and the official radio internet headquarters of the network that carries us. Does that make sense? Liberty News Radio Network, libertynewsradio.com. Joined for the first time in a long time during the second hour by Keith Alexander, you are used to normally hearing Keith during the first hour, but now you're going to get an extra treat as Keith stays with us for tonight's second hour. And Keith, we covered a little ground during the first hour, gave a little ode to the fans, talked about the SPLC a little bit, and then moved over to a unfortunate incident in Itawamba County, Mississippi. If you missed any of that, you can get it on demand at the broadcast archives. Keith, welcome back to the second hour.
Yeah, we've built up a full head of steam, and we're charging towards the finish line now in the second hour. The first hour just was basically getting our feet wet, and now we're ready to really jump into the cesspool with both feet.
Barrels blazing, as it were. And, Keith, yeah, you're normally used to cramming it all in that first hour. What's it feel like to still be in the studio past 7 o'clock Central Time?
Well, this is uncharted territory.
We're going to see how we adjust.
In the old days, we used to go for 3 hours at a clip with one commercial break. So,
yeah, you know. We've done it all, I'll tell you that. We are rightly seasoned. We've seen and done it all on radio, it would appear. But we are continuing on now. Bill Rowland and Winston Smith have the night off. Eddie the Bombardier Miller, though, doesn't, and he'll be with us during the third hour. But that's still a little bit from now. I want to talk to you, Keith, and everyone listening, about Mike Pence. If you don't know who Mike Pence is,
you're lucky.
You're lucky. That's right, you're lucky. He's a Republican congressman, and there's been a lot of speculation that this so-called conservative Republican Mike Pence is thinking of running for the presidential nomination in 2012. Well, he pretty much removed all doubt of that last week when a newspaper in his home state of Indiana published a piece that he had written. He had written it personally. Now, this was basically his announcement article, Keith, his announcement speech, the first salvo of his campaign. And so did he talk about the dire state of the economy? Did he talk about the invasion of tens of millions of illegal aliens that we know most red state Americans, a.k.a. people who vote Republican? Did he write about that, an issue that they are certainly concerned about? Or did he talk about the need to start putting forth an America First foreign policy? No, it wasn't about any of that, Keith. His article wasn't about those minor trivialities. What he had written about in his campaign kickoff address was how deeply he had been moved the weekend before when he went down to Alabama on a civil rights pilgrimage. Now, this is a white Republican from Indiana who we know, before he ever even opens his mouth, he's not going to receive a single black vote, no matter if he panders to his little heart's content or if he does the right thing and actually addresses issues that his base wants to hear about. But this is what he said.
Like they did on Animal House.
Yeah. Well, here's what he said. Representative Mike Pence retraces the route of civil rights marchers, written by Mike Pence. Last weekend, our family had the privilege of joining colleagues from both political parties on a walk through the historic sites of the civil rights movement in Montgomery and Selma, Alabama. I will never forget the experience. I served as co-leader of the 10th Congressional Civil Rights Pilgrimage, a pilgrimage to urban Alabama, Keith, sponsored by the Faith and Politics Institute. We arrived in Montgomery on Saturday afternoon and made our way to the home church of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., sitting in the front pew of the Dexter Avenue Baptist Church in Montgomery. We heard from Dorothy Cotton about her years working with Dr. King. She spoke of the faith that sustained her work and the heroic importance of music to the movement. And you can read the rest of it for yourself, ladies and gentlemen. Just don't do it if you've eaten dinner recently. But all I could say, Keith, is after reading that piece, the black voters are just going to be flocking to vote for this Republican from Indiana. Am I right?
No, you're wrong. He probably made a side trip over to the Southern Poverty Law Center headquarters to participate in a Mazzola party with Heidi Beirich and Mark Potok and Morris Deez as well. But, you know, this is what's wrong with conservatism, mainstream conservatism in America.
And you've seen it here. I want to say this one more thing, Keith. You've seen it here in Memphis with all of the candidates fawning, pawning, you know, betraying their base to go after the votes of people that are never going to even consider voting for them. How many candidates have to go out of their way to lose races because of behavior such as this? How many failed candidacies is it going to take before people like Pence understand that this is the path to absolute defeat and nothing more?
Well, you know, it's reminiscent of John McCain's one foray into the state of Tennessee during his presidential campaign against Barack Obama. Now, what did he do, pray tell? Why did he come to visit the loyal red state, i.e. Republican voters of Tennessee? Red states are called red states because they vote for the Republican candidate in presidential elections. Now, does John McCain like those people that tend to vote for him? In other words, white Gentiles of Tennessee? No. He comes to Tennessee, and specifically to our hometown of Memphis, Tennessee, so he can go to the National Civil Rights Museum on Martin Luther King Day and seek absolution and forgiveness for not voting for the Martin Luther King holiday back in the early 80s, along with Jesse Helms, John East, and Ronald Reagan, who had to have his arm twisted mightily before he was willing to go along with it. Instead, we see John McCain, our proud standard bearer of middle America, groveling at the feet of these hooting and jeering black Democrats telling him, I'm sorry, he sounded like Jerry Lewis in some movie, you know, like The Delicate Delinquent from back in the late 50s or early 60s.
And appeasement never works. Apology, especially phony apologies like that, never work.
Well,
and
you know, our old late great friend, Sam Francis, you know, Samuel Todd Francis of Chattanooga, who was one of the leading lights of the paleoconservative movement, wrote an article about this situation in his book called Revolution of the Middle, and he called it The Religious Wrong. Mike Pence, like Sean and Leanne Toohey of the Blind Side fame, is a supposed fundamentalist Christian who takes this anti-white position whenever he can, and he doesn't understand that the conservative position during the Civil Rights Movement was not in favor of integration. It was not in favor of Martin Luther King and the bus boycott in Montgomery or the march from Montgomery to Selma, Alabama, or from Selma, Alabama to Montgomery. It was on the other side. And there were good, sound, ideological and philosophical reasons for that, like a reverence for states' rights, for example.
Well, here's the
opposition
thing.
Opposition to federal lordship. Central government oppression of the states.
Well, here's the thing, Keith.
Forget it.
Here's the thing. You know, during the middle or the beginning of the civil rights, so-called civil rights movement, people might not have been able to see what the end game was all about. Although many whites had it rightly pegged from the beginning. You know, but
Southern whites did.
Southern whites. But 50 years after the fact, Mike Pence has to be able to see that what that movement was about was, as we've written and spoken about on this program, it was all about the abolition of freedom of speech and private property rights. And to honor King, who
was
the FBI knows and didn't know at the time was an avowed communist and a plagiarist and a philanderer, you know, this is sick. This is, you know, worshiping at the altar of political correctness, worshiping the false gods of cultural Marxism.
See, they just can't get through their minds the idea that all liberalism is bad, all modern liberalism and all of its manifestations are bad. And the movement for black rights or civil rights, so-called civil rights, was nothing more than the camel's nose in the tent. And it provided a template or a blueprint for every other leftist movement that followed.
And we've talked
about
that.
It provided a template for homosexual rights, for criminal rights, for radical women's liberation, for environmentalism. Plants and animals are the same as human beings. You know, this all comes from the same source. And the first step down that path was the civil rights movement. What has civil rights done except destroy public education in America?
Well,
you know, Andy sees this as not worthy to be called a conservative.
We'll be back right after this.
Don't go away. There's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages. Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show. Last segment, Keith Alexander and I were talking about Mike Pence, the Indiana Republican congressman who is following a textbook. He's just following the textbook to a T on how to lose a race and all of this pandering. You know, he's not only going to lose, Keith, he's going to lose in embarrassing fashion because, first of all, he curries no favor with the so-called minorities by acting this way. They see him as a joke, and so does his base, by the way. And so he's losing votes on both sides every time he opens his mouth.
We won't be hearing much of him after the first couple of weeks of the election.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, what more can you say? It's just sickening that people are filled with that much self-hate and that much guilt. But nevertheless, I know you had a quick comment and summation, and then we got to tell the folks about this guy wanting $10 million for being pulled over by a Georgia state trooper.
Well, let me just get to Mike Pence briefly. You know, one definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again but expecting different results. Well, Mike Pence and the RINOs, the Republicans in name only, or the neoconservative Republicans, or the Rockefeller Republicans, liberal Republicans, whatever you want to call them, keep trying to reach out to the black community and the minority communities, the Hispanic community, and they keep getting their hand bitten by this rabid dog, and they never seem to learn. Mike Pence is a perfect example of what Sam Francis termed the religious wrong. And that's a play on words for the religious right. Fundamentalists, for the longest time, were the holdouts. They were the Christians that did not buy the snake oil of liberalism. They were unlike the mainstream Protestant groups, like the Seven Sisters of the Mainline, the Northern Baptists, the Presbyterians, the Episcopalians, the Methodists, the Lutherans, the Disciples of Christ, and the Congregationalists. They didn't fall for this liberal claptrap. I remember when Adrian Rogers of Memphis became the head of the Southern Baptist denomination and purged the Southern Baptist seminaries of moderates and liberals. Well, now, you know, liberals are like their father, the devil. They never sleep. They work relentlessly. And now we see things like Sean and Leanne Toohey, who have formed a evangelical church, and it's all about outreach to the ghetto. And Mike Pence, likewise, what's the one thing that he has to use as the foundation for his running? He wants to prove to everybody that the most important thing for being a conservative Republican is that you're right in there with the liberals and the Democrats on the issue of civil rights. And, you know, Mike Pence is toast. Mike Pence will be forgotten as soon as he's going to be like Andy Warhol's prediction that in the future everybody will be famous for 15 minutes. Mike Pence's 15 minutes are briefly running to a close.
Well, and as we see the continued evolution of the so-called civil rights movement, we see, Keith, that the term minority has become a title of nobility, much like Duke, Lord, Earl, etc., which entitles the holder to rights and privileges beyond those afforded to the common folk. Now, titles of nobility are expressly forbidden in the Constitution, but the Constitution has been a dead letter for a long, long time in America. Increasingly, blacks and other non-whites are starting to understand that they are members of a privileged class in this country, entitled not only to affirmative action quotas and set-asides, but extraordinary respect and deference from the white peasants and their institutions. Now, here is the latest example of that, Keith. A black Florida lawyer is suing a Georgia County Sheriff's Department for $10 million for pulling him over. The cop said, the cop in question said he pulled over this guy, this lawyer, this Kevin Thomas, because he was following too closely to the car in front of him. Kevin Thomas says that's a racist lie and that he was only pulled over because he's black and has dreadlocks. Now, he doesn't go on to state that he refused to cooperate and that the car was searched and the cop found a prescription drug not in its original container, which is against the law in Georgia. So the man was arrested for that and for following too closely, although both charges were later dismissed after he hired an attorney. But this black guy in question is now suing this Georgia Sheriff's Department for $10 million, alleging he was only pulled over as a result of racial profiling. And get this, the guy who pulled him over was also black. Just think of how much money he'd be demanding if one of those lowly white peasant cops had pulled him over. And how long, Keith, do you think it'll be before it's a hate crime to pull over a black person for any reason whatsoever during Martin Luther King's America? Keith?
Well, the conservative columnist Paul Craig Roberts predicted this several years ago. He ran a series of articles in which he called the race preference system that had developed in America through affirmative action and otherwise, to be the new feudalism in America. Under feudalism in medieval Europe, certain groups of people had higher rights than others. For example, it was against the law for a peasant to speak harshly to a member of the aristocracy. The aristocracy had differential rights from other people. The peasants, the lowly peasants. And you know, it was John C. Calhoun who said back in the 1830s that the true goal of the abolitionists was not the freedom for the black race, but rather that the black race and the white race change places in society. It's time for all Americans to realize that is what liberalism has in mind. You know, I've said it before, I'll say it again. If you want a thumbnail definition of liberalism, liberalism is all about denying white Gentiles their rightful place in American society, the type of place they would have if we had true, fair, and objective measures. For example, if you got into college or medical school or law school based solely on your standardized test scores, we wouldn't have anything to worry about. But, of course, there are differential rights now, and certain people, it's like George Orwell said in Animal Farm, all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. And we're intended to be at the bottom of the totem pole, as John C. Calhoun figured out. Now, this is also an example of what Noam Chomsky, the noted leftist commentator, called manufactured consent. Whenever the left wants to start a new consensus, they go to the court system, just like this fellow is doing down in Alabama, or where is it, Georgia, excuse me. What they're doing is, just like they did, they're following the template from the granddaddy of them all, Brown versus Board of Education. Of course, the court system is the least democratic of our institutions in our government. Supreme Court justices are appointed by the president with the advice and consent of the U.S. Senate, and they serve for life. And the only way they can be taken out of offices for high crimes and misdemeanors that would constitute or justify impeachment. So consequently, they're the least democratic, least subject to the public will, and if you want to change society, they do it through the courts. The left has been doing this since 1954. They've discovered the Philosopher's Stone, the way to change lead into gold. That's what the Philosopher's Stone did back in the Middle Ages. This is a way to manufacture consent where none exists. This is what they intend to do, and they intend, basically, And I think that white people are just beginning to understand what the whole purpose is. The whole purpose of this so-called rights revolution, homosexual rights, black rights, criminal rights, women's rights, environmentalism, all of it is intended not to help homosexuals, blacks, women, etc. What it's intended to do is attack the white Gentile majority of America and thrust them to the bottom of the heap.
Keith, with that, we're going to take a break, and we've got another example of this madness coming up right after these words from our sponsors.
Successful guys, we'll be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
Folks, you know, as multiculturalism and cultural Marxism continue to spread like a cancer through our culture and society, the stories that we cover on this program, the stories we've been covering on this program for the past 6 years, continue to get more and more frightening. We just shared with you a story about a black man who's suing a Georgia sheriff's department for $10 million because he got pulled over. He got pulled over, and of course, once he was pulled over for following too closely, there were drugs in his car. He was uncooperative, and so he got arrested, and he sued him for $10 million, even though the arresting officer was also black. He said it was a racially profiled incident.
He's an honorary white, apparently.
Yeah, in that instance he was. And at the end of the post on the blog and at the end of the story we just covered, I asked how long is it before it's a hate crime to be a hate crime for pulling over a black for any reason. Well, get this. In the Waldo neighborhood of Kansas City, a serial rapist is on the loose. He's black, and police have released a sketch of the suspect based upon interviews with the victims. Now, the other day, a white man saw this saw a black man in the area who matched the description, so we called the cops. And now, civil rights leaders, quote-unquote, are demanding that the good citizen be charged with a hate crime. Folks, I am not making this up. Now, it sounds crazy, but you'd better start getting used to more black crime, as every stop, investigation, or arrest of a non-white will eventually be called a hate crime. So right now, Keith, you got a neighborhood that has been hit by a series of rapes. The police issue a sketch of what the victim looks like based upon interviews made with the victims. A guy sees someone matching the description, calls the cops, and now this man is under investigation. The man who called the police is under investigation for a hate crime himself. Now, I tell you, if that isn't scary, I don't know what is.
Well, does it really surprise you, James?
No, it doesn't surprise me at all.
But we've been hearing since the mid-40s from such experts as Gunnar Myrdal, and Ashley Montague, real name Israel Ehrenrig, that race is America's most dangerous myth. Race does not exist. Race, according to the arbiters of our culture now, our elite, like the Southern Poverty Law Center, is that they're like the Queen of Hearts. Words mean what they say they mean, nothing more and nothing less. And consequently, you can't consider something as obvious as a description of a criminal as being black and acting upon that assumption reasonably. If you do that, then you're guilty of a hate crime. This is what hate crimes were instituted to do, not to punish hate, but again, to focus on and punish, criminalize, and marginalize white people, specifically white Gentiles. So consequently, the only thing will do is that we have some sacrificial lamb or whipping boy white who agrees or is thrust against his will into being the rapist. You know, the fact that the real rapist is black is of no concern to the cultural Marxists that are apparently running things in Kansas City now. I tell you, this is, you know, the fact that we see time and time again that police energy, police manpower, police expertise is being used to focus on specious, stupid, culturally and politically correct episodes like the investigation into somebody or some group of people that put white cotton balls in front of a black cultural center in Missouri, or this so-called ghetto party that was held and attended by some students at the University of California in San Diego. Meanwhile, rapes, murders, like the one at the Chicken Hut in Tulsa, like the one that we have here in Kansas City, real crimes are going begging. It's a perfect example, James, of what Sam Francis, the late paleoconservative thinker, termed anarcho-tyranny. Anarchy, when it comes to controlling real criminals and protecting the public against real crime, like rape and murder, but tyranny directed at middle-class, normal American citizens, demonizing and criminalizing behavior that is basically innocent, like, for example, these cameras that they have at traffic lights now, because, you know, it's a lot easier to enforce the law against the law-abiding than it is against lawless.
Absolutely, because the law-abiding
doesn't pick up a fuss.
The law-abiding will pay the ticket, appear in court, whereas the lawless, you know, they're not going to do any of that. And you know, Keith, it's almost exhausting sometimes to be the only mainstream media entity in maybe the world that addresses these issues week in, week out. This should be national news story. People should be crying foul over these race hustlers descending on this guy from that Kansas City area.
They ought to be hooted out of town. There ought to be some type of punishment for somebody that wants to impede a legitimate police investigation of a violent crime like rape and makes people ignore, like the emperor's new clothes, the most obvious fact about the rapist, which is that he's black.
Well, I got one. In all my years of hosting this show, we've done well over 1,000 shows. And this story that I'm about to share with the audience now, which, by the way, is also blogged at our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, if you want to read into it for further information and corroborating links. Again, we're one of the main, the few mainstream media entities that actually use facts in our coverage of the issues we choose to present to you on this program. But you got to get a load of this story. Three white male teachers have been suspended from a Los Angeles elementary school for mocking Black History Month. And the way that they allegedly mocked Black History Month was by giving students pictures of Dennis Rodman, RuPaul, and O.J. Simpson to carry in a parade. And here's what the story says. Three Los Angeles school teachers have been suspended for giving children pictures of O.J. Simpson, Dennis Rodman, and RuPaul to carry in Black History Month parade. Los Angeles School District spokeswoman Gail Pollard Terry said Wednesday the teachers were removed from their classrooms at Wadsworth Elementary School. She says the teachers, who are white, could have chosen more appropriate choices, such as Nelson Mandela, who, by the way, is an unrepentant terrorist. But
killed over 20 people in a bombing of a train station back in the anti-apartheid movement in South Africa. But, of course, we're not going to, you know, what are 20 innocent lives compared to liberal iconography?
Well, okay, well, here's the point. So you look at it and you say, okay, well, are they mocking Black History Month, which is a joke in and of itself and worthy of mocking, but we'll not even go there for the purpose of this story. But what are the blacks complaining about here? What is Gail Pollard Terry, the spokeswoman of this Los Angeles school district, complaining about? I mean, I think most blacks would regard Dennis Rodman as a man worthy of being celebrated because he was an NBA basketballer. And why shouldn't RuPaul be there? Because he's a transvestite? I mean, isn't it hate nowadays to suggest that transvestites are any less worthy of respect? And what about O.J. Simpson? Millions of blacks in America regard him not only as a hero, but as a martyr to a racist justice system who was not only framed for murder, but also for the kidnapping and robbery charges he's currently in prison for. According to a 2007 poll, Keith, only 24% of blacks think O.J. committed the murders, and even fewer, 13%, think he's guilty of kidnapping. So what's the problem? Well, here's where the story gets even stranger, Keith. In fact, when you hear all of the facts that I'm about to give you, it suddenly goes from being a story about white males mocking Black History Month to yet another story about blacks using any excuse they can think of to attack white people without cause. Check this out. In another interview with another newspaper, of course, this was big news in L.A. last week, Gail Pollard Terry, again, the district spokeswoman for the Los Angeles School District, said that O.J. Simpson, Dennis Rodman, and RuPaul, remember, these were the three people whose pictures were given to these students as they marched in the Black History Month parade there in L.A. She said that all of these individuals were included on a list of prominent African Americans, which was approved by the school district for study during Black History Month. So you got that? Is this incredible or what? In other words, these three teachers have been suspended for following the approved curriculum. The school had actually approved these three people, a transvestite, a double murderer, and Dennis Rodman, as appropriate subject matter for the study of Black History Month. But when white males followed that curriculum, they're suspended and are probably facing termination. We got to take a break, but I'm going to let Keith dig into that when we return. What a story. You can read more about it at thepoliticalcesspool.org. I tell you, that beats it all. We'll be back right after this.
They took the home. Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
Jump in the Political Cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Denny, our illustrious producer, just asked me to remind everyone that daylight savings time changes. I don't know if it begins or ends tonight, but we spring forward, as they say. So remember to
spring forward, fall back.
Right. Set those clocks when you go to bed tonight. Keith, last story I was commenting on, essentially three white school teachers in Los Angeles have been suspended because they passed out pictures of individuals who were approved by the school curriculum as individuals worthy of being celebrated during Black History Month, but when white school teachers pass out these pictures, there's hell to pay.
Well, again, going back to earlier stories that we had in the first hour, here's our situation, James. This is a narco-tyranny. This is, furthermore, the new feudalism that you were talking about, where only whites can be guilty of certain crimes, like hate crimes. You know, blacks have long complained that they were singled out for attention by the criminal justice system. You know, they were arrested for driving while black, for example, or being black in a white neighborhood. Well, what this shows is that you can follow the approved curricula and have your students carry pictures of people that are listed on a state-approved list of black heroes. And if you're white, you're subject to second-guessing. I'm sure that if these teachers were black, as they say on The Sopranos, forget about it, right? They're not going to do anything. This is just like the Itawamba County prom, where the ACLU is suing Itawamba County schools because they would not accommodate a homosexual couple at their prom. Again, we pointed out, it's not just a coincidence that Itawamba County is one of the counties in Mississippi that has the lowest percentage of blacks in it. Blacks are known for their antipathy towards homosexuals, but the ACLU would never have targeted a prom situation like this in Cahoma County, Mississippi, which is majority black, or Newton County, or Holmes County, or Jefferson County, any place like that, because the real purpose is not to help homosexuals or to help blacks. Just like in this, the real purpose is to punish white Gentiles. and to knock them off their pedestal and put them at the bottom of society. That's what they intend to do. This is an example of anarcho-tyranny again. You know, rather than focusing on real problems, what is ailing black America today and trying to do something about it, they're interested in demonizing whites who dare participate in Black History Month. You know, so consequently, my advice is don't do it. You're not wanted. You're not welcome. And the sooner you realize that, the better off you will be. There is no common ground on these things.
Well, you know, where there should be common ground is that everyone in the country should be appalled that these teachers in Los Angeles were dismissed for that reason. There should be a national public outcry. But again, we are the only show bringing stories like this to your attention. And if you don't think that story was big enough to be brought to national attention, what about this one? If this shouldn't be on Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, and all the rest of them, then there isn't a story worthy of national coverage. Mexican drug gangs are taking over our national parks. And, of course, you can thank George Bush for that. So-called conservatives cheered Bush on for 8 years as he attacked two countries which had never done anything to us and were absolutely no threat to us. Meanwhile, he let violent Mexican drug gangs take over our national parks and turn them into huge marijuana farms. Now, you might think this sounds like some sort of frothing conspiracy theory. Go to our website. We provide you with links to legitimate newspapers, legitimate by any mainstream standard of measurement, for whatever worth that is. And you can read this for yourself. But these marijuana farms in our national parks are complete with heavily armed guards. Then, you know, the so-called conservatives nominated John McCain, Mr. Amnesty himself, to run against Obama. Now they're all going gaga over Sarah Palin, who has already made it clear that she's not going to do a thing about illegal immigration. She's obsessed with the integrity of Israel's borders, but not ours, you know.
What
but here's
a surprise.
The thing. Here's the thing, Keith. What kind of nation allows violent foreign gangs to take over its national parks? A nation that's on its last legs. That's what. Here's the story. Out of the Associated Press. I mean, if that's not legitimate, I don't know. You know, the Associated Press. Now, we might disagree with their political stance, but, I mean, on something factual like this, you can pretty much bank on it. Why have you not heard about this story on any other program but the Political Cesspool? I'll make it quick because we're running out of time, and I want to give Keith a chance for the final word on this issue. The San Francisco Chronicle issued this story on March 1st of this year via the Associated Press, and here's what it reads. Not far from Yosemite's waterfalls and in the middle of California's redwood forests, Mexican drug gangs are quietly commandeering U.S. public land to grow millions of marijuana plants and using smuggled immigrants to cultivate them. Pot has been grown on public lands for decades, the story reads, but Mexican traffickers have taken it to a whole new level, using armed guards and tripwires to safeguard sprawling plots that in some cases contains tens of thousands of plants, offering a potential yield of more than 30 tons of pot each year. The Sequoia National Forest in Central California is covered in a patchwork of pot fields, the story goes on to say, most of which are hidden along mountain creeks and streams, far from hiking trails. It's the same situation in nearby Yosemite, Sequoia, and Redwood National Parks. Even if they had the manpower to police the vast wilderness, authorities say terrain and weather conditions often keep them from finding the farms, except accidentally. You know, Keith, I don't know. To me, that sounds like a story worthy of national attention, but, you know, how can you give stories like that attention when you got to deal with, blacks suing sheriff's departments for tens of millions of dollars because they got pulled over? You know, you got to, you know, talk about stories, you know, white people guilty of hate crimes for calling the police on a rapist. You know, I don't know. Those stories, I guess, take precedent over something like this. I mean, if that's not a joke, our country can't even safeguard our national parks, which are in the interior of our heartland. You know, what kind of country are we living in?
Well, we're living in a country that Sam Francis would say is suffering under a regime of anarcho-tyranny. It's obvious that we can't spare police manpower to track down Mexican drug gangs that are commandeering whole sections of national parks and guarding them with armed guards who might drill you or your children if you happen into their marijuana farm area when you're visiting the Yosemite Park, for example, because they're busy dealing with these dangerous hate mongers that have put cotton balls out in front of the Black Cultural Center at the University of Missouri, for example, or they're busy, you know, trying to find out who is responsible for putting a noose in the library at the University of California at San Diego.
And by the way, it was a black female student.
Right, and of course, when that happens, no crime. Again, that's Paul Craig Roberts' new feudalism. We have differential rights, you know, like George Orwell's Animal Farm. Some animals are all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. Why, you know, this is also dangerous when you look into beyond just the exact story, because we have a law now called RICO, Racketeering Influence Corrupt Organization Act, and they can take your home. They can take your farm, rural Americans, if they find criminal activity going on there, i.e. someone secretly and without your approval growing marijuana on part of your land, just like they're doing on the Sequoia National Forest and in Yosemite Park in California. So consequently, what are they going to do? They're not dealing with the real dangerous, violent criminals who are doing this, guarding their marijuana farms with tripwires and with armed guards that will mow down anybody that haplessly wanders into them. What they want to punish are the innocent landowners who happen not to know what's going on in the bottom 40. And it turns out somebody's growing pot there, so then the government will come in and ask that they forfeit their farm. This is the new America. This is the new liberal America. And again, understand what it's all about. It's not about enforcing the law. You see, real laws like this that are, you know, meant to maintain civilization in America, like preventing pot farms and stuff like this being run by large, massive criminal enterprises, what in the heck is that? That's nothing. You know, let's go after the cotton ball droppers. Okay?
That's right. And, Keith, with that, that is the final word for this hour. We got another hour forthcoming with Eddie the Bombardier Miller. Keith, I want to thank you so much for staying with us for 2 hours this evening. And, folks, why don't you do yourself a favor and go to our website, www.thepoliticalcesspool.org, thepoliticalcesspool.org. And during this break from the second to third hour, you can read more about all of the stories that we've brought to your attention during the first 2 hours tonight. They are all documented on our blog with corroborating links and facts. And I tell you, you know, that's what separates our show from every other program. We talk about these issues, they don't. We'll be back to talk more about them in just a moment.
This installment of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.